greet each one in Jesus' precious name again this evening. And I trust that you have full stomachs, but you also are still hungering and thirsting for what the Lord has for us at this time. I'd like to this evening talk a little bit about goals. So when I was asked to come here and share with you, it came around to this. It's amazing how time flies, and soon, you know, I thought it was out in the future, you know. Pretty soon I find out that it's coming right up. I need to get messages pulled together for this. I need to pray about it more. And so I did that. And then it finally comes time to leave. You need to go. Now, my goal was to come to here, to the Bronx, and share God's word with you. You see, I had a goal of where I needed to be at. That's what I was focused on. We left our place yesterday after school. And we left our place and we went east. We left our place and we went west. Get my directions mixed up here. We went west. Now, if you know geography any, you know that your direction here is not west of our place. South a little bit. But if you're going to go west to come here, you're going to go a long ways. Well, we had another goal that was to go to a program that was out at Lakeview Church. But the reason I say that is, when we got to Lakeview, I want you to think about this in goals. So that was our goal then. But you see, I was heading west. And to get here to the Bronx, I had to sometime make a turnaround and come east. Otherwise, I couldn't have made the goal of coming here without going, somehow getting across the water, and it would have taken a lot longer. That's that illustration of thinking about goals. So I had a place to go. I had a goal to reach. You have goals, I trust, in life. You have goals of something that when you look at life, you say, that is what I'd like to be. That's what I remember in my youth. I was a young man in the youth, and I had a number of different people, but there was two especially that I think about that I looked up to, and they were young married men. They were young married men, and I just remember we'd come to a school picnic, and it was amazing. There was hardly anything those brothers couldn't do wrong when they came to playing ball. I mean, they were good. They had a family, young family. Someday, maybe that'll be me. Young people have goals. You may not say it in that way, but there's usually those people you look up to and say, well, if I could just be that way or attain to what they have. They have life pretty much made. Good job, good paycheck coming in. Everything seems to work out for them. They have answers to life's problems. That's the way I viewed these two brothers. Well, the Lord did bless me with marriage. Good wife. I reached the stage of life where I was in young family life. Same age as what these two brothers that I had looked up to in my youth. Went out to my home area, which is in Ohio, for those that don't know where I grew up at. Went out there and I talked to one of those brothers. I said, I'm at the age where I used to look up to you at. How did you reach that age of life and have all the answers? How is life so pulled together for you? And he did just what you did. He laughed. That's not life. He said, I was learning. What you saw was not what real life was. But you work with life, and you make your life as good, and that's part of it. When you think about goals in life, where do you want to be? Do I want to keep pressing towards the mark of serving God? Do I want to keep striving to grow better in my Christian life? Do I want to keep striving to have a happy home life? Do I want to? You put the list there. What is your goal? I know these brothers. Their goal was not to see how much money they could pile on a bank account. That wasn't their goal. Their goal wasn't to draw honor to themselves. That wasn't their goal. I ended up as a young man working for one of these brothers. And I soon realized his goal was to serve people in the community. Title the message of the evening, What Are Your Goals? What are your goals? I want you to think about it. Where do you want to be in life? If time continues to go on, if time continues to remain, someday, young person, you are going to be the next generation. You're the church of tomorrow. Where do you want to be at? I can assure you, my goal was not to be a preacher standing behind a pulpit. My goal instead was, as I came through life, is to be exactly where God wants me to be. And He called me to the work. You can run from it. But I trust as we go through the message, what are your goals? I trust that your goal is to serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and follow His leading wherever He calls you. To the ones facing the middle age of life, the battles, the tough times of life, keep pressing on. You don't know who's following you, who's looking to you and saying, you have the answers to life. You don't know. Older ones, grandpas, if there's any here, you don't know who you're affecting with the choices you make today. What are your goals? Philippians 3, verse 13. Paul writing to the Philippians. Here's his goal. I'm going to read verse 13 to 15 of Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You're catching his goal? I'm not there yet. I'm still working towards it. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's a goal out there, brothers. I'm going to do this. I press towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's a goal out there. Paul's saying, I'm going to press towards it. That's my focus. That's where I'm going. We're going to hit it. I pondered about whether I was going to use this illustration, but I'm going to. I've used it before, so if, Philip, if you've seen it before, that's okay. There was a strike in our correctional facility that we have close to our place. There's a Five Points correctional facility just a couple miles from our place. And they went on strike. They were demanding a number of different things that they were demanding. And we'd drive by it. We'd see it many times. They were on strike. They had fires burning out there beside the road, a lot of vehicles in and out. This was all going on, and one day I was driving by there, and I found this. They were holding up different signs. And one of the signs they held up was something that looked like this. And 70%, some kind of symbol in the center there, and 100%. I didn't know what that symbol meant in the middle. And then I went to Google. I said, what are they holding up? What's the sign mean? Does not equal. Okay, that's what that stands for. Who's a school teacher here? Okay, 70%, does it equal 100? No, you either have 100% on your test or you have a 70%, right? That's what I understand when I went to school. I pondered that. They were saying, when it comes to negotiations to end the strike, we are not going to be satisfied with 70%. You meet us at the 100%. What is your goal? You see, sometimes I'm a little afraid that we as Christians, we kind of view those about us, we view the people we associate with. They get by with it. It must be okay. And we stop at the 70%. Do you ever experience that? I have in my own life. As I look at my life. We start gauging ourselves by the brethren that we're around. Yeah. Listen, brethren, God wants 100% of you. He don't care whether you gave 30% more than the others that were around you. He wants 100%. Having goals is very important in life. Young people, it's very important that you make goals for your life of where you are going to go with it, what you're going to do, what you aren't going to do. Make it a personal conviction within yourselves. Make it personal. Don't look at the others about you and the 70% they are giving and saying, that's enough. God wants the 100%. In school, when I was growing up, we got asked the question, we'd often give out a school paper, which you had to remember that year of school. That often came with assignments in my growing up years. You often had to write an article or something like that. And every once in a while, they'd ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? When I was in really young grades, I didn't mind that question so much. I always had a lot of ideas what to be when I grow up. When I got a little older, I didn't like the question. Because I still don't know totally what I want to be when I grow up, but here's where I'm at. But one thing I do know, I want to serve Christ. Okay, let's keep that straight. Okay, but we ask young people, what do you want to do when you grow up? That desire, that goal that they have can change many times in a child's life. It does. But I trust that a goal to serve Christ never changes. I trust that as they see people that have influence in their lives, they say, I want that. Parents, hold out to your children something that they say, I want that. Goals help us to be successful in business life. Sharing goals of a business helps to keep everyone united and focused on reaching that goal. Business owners know that. I ask you in your spiritual life, what am I focusing on in life? What am I trying to get out of life? What do I want out of life? What drives you? Answer those questions. What motivates your daily actions? What causes you to want that car? To want that dress? What is it? What is it? What's the goal? What motivates your daily action? You can now turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to take a quick journey. I won't try to keep you long this evening, but we're going to take a quick journey through a man in the Bible. We're not going to hit everything that I maybe could about his life, but just a few points to get our minds thinking about this man. 1 Kings chapter 3, we have Solomon here. Solomon is faced with the task of leading the children of Israel. A very momentous task, a very big task. He is following right on the shoes of his father, his father David, a man that was after God's own heart, a man that every other king was raided against. As David, if you read on through scripture, as David his father, you know, that's who Solomon's father was. David. And you think about that. He has the history of Saul when he was out there chasing his father up and down those hills. He knows those stories. He saw his father go through life, a godly man. But he saw his father go through a time where he fell into sin with Bathsheba. He saw that play out in his whole family relationship as his son Absalom rebelled against his father. He saw that. Now suddenly the kingdom is in his hands. He's faced with leading it. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 5, and in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Solomon, you got this kingdom, ask me what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy. According to this, he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, nor after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. What a commendable goal. This thy so great a people, God, I don't know how I'm going to lead them. God, I want you to give me direction. I want to serve you. You give me the wisdom to lead this. I can't do it myself. It's more than I can handle. His goal was to lead the people that he could discern between the good and the bad. For the people, he wanted to discern between good and bad. But I think he also had it in a goal in his heart that I can discern between good and bad in my own life. It works all together. He wanted to lead the best he could in leading God's people with God's help. And I believe his goal was to serve God with his whole heart. Give his best in the work of leading his people. We're not going to read all the other verses in between here. Chapter 4, we come to saying more about Solomon. People came from all over to hear about the wisdom of Solomon because God gave him exactly what God said he was going to give him. He had so much wisdom. Chapter 7, Solomon's goal has shifted. He starts building himself a great big mansion. I'm not saying it's wrong to build a big house. That's not what I'm saying with this. But in all his wealth, in all his wisdom, God was blessing him materially just as he said in chapter 3 he was going to. And suddenly, it starts shifting. He starts building it for himself. Chapter 10, we find some more. The focus and goal just continues to shift to wealth and materialism. Now you can turn to chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. All that is happening in his life, his goal is shifting. It just continues to erode. And now look at what it says. In chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. In verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, went not wholly after the Lord as did David his father. And he built himself some altars there. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, which he kept not after which the Lord had commanded. What happened? Where is the goal? Where is the focus that's at the start? Say, I'm called to lead these people. I have a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. And suddenly, when God blesses him because of his commitment to serve God and to lead these people in wisdom, God blesses him materially. And now it has gone downward. And suddenly all these wives that he has turned his heart away. God had told him, I'm going to help you, give you wisdom to discern between the good and the bad. Where did it happen? Was God unfaithful in helping him discern? It was a choice of Solomon. It didn't just stop with Solomon. Sin never just affects one person. Don't believe so. We could read on down 9 to 13 verses there. There's idolatry and spiritual decline is just happening in the children of Israel, just going down the tube. Soon he and his people are turned away from God. Verse 26 to 40, what happens to the kingdom? There is division. There's conflict that's happening there. Solomon's wrong goals of power and prestige led to division and conflict in his kingdom. What happened? Somewhere in the process of time, his vision, his goal, of serving Christ, of giving God everything, of giving God His best, of leading these people has changed. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. There's some discrepancy on it, but I believe Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, this wise man. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We have part of his journey here. We should maybe take, no, we're not going to take the time to read it all. Let me just give you a little glimpse of it. Let's start reading verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is madness, and mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see that was a good to the sons of men, which I should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle. Above all that were in Jerusalem before thee, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of the kings of the provinces. I got me men singers, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and of all that sort. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom, I was a wise man, it remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was a portion of my labor. Want to stop reading there? We say that's not us. That's out there. Right? That's the focus. I want to gain it all to myself. I want to just give me an easy life. Give me a 2-car garage or 4-car garage or whatever you want. Give me a Ferrari or whatever you put there for cars. Give it to me, and I'll be happy. Solomon had it. Whatever his heart, in his time that he lived in, if there was any joy to be had in it, he could do it. He had the money, he had the wealth, he could just do it. Now let's read verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, wherever you want to put yourself, you can have all the goals of wanting things of this life. And you will come in the end of life. When you face the end of life, you're going to come to the same place that Solomon did. Because, well, you remember the song? Or somewhere remember about there's, you've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse? You can't take it with you. When you leave this life, you leave it all. You came with nothing and you go with nothing. Except for the children that you've, and those if you've helped, point to heaven. As Solomon is writing Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I believe he realized the empty and fleeting nature of any earthly pursuit that was for self. He looked at his life and he realized his wrong goals led him to a place of disillusionment and failure. Now you can go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He's talking to us today. As we view his life and we think about his goals and how they shifted, he ends his book in all his ponderings and all his breaking out of as he wrestles with life. I like to think about when he's writing Ecclesiastes. It's this man that's wrestling with life and everything that's there. Because all through Ecclesiastes, you'll find him just wrestling with things. Just as we read in chapter 2. And all of a sudden, he'll break out in this big conclusion for it, and then he'll go back to wrestling again with it. And he's wrestling all through that, all through Ecclesiastes. And then we come to chapter 12. He's finishing the book. He's talking to young people. Remember verse 1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Think about God. Think about your goals. Think about where you're going, young men. It does matter. It does matter. And he sums it up with words for every one of us, no matter where you find yourself in life, wherever you're at. Goals. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I don't care what you're doing. This is your goal. This is what you need to focus on. This is what's important in life. Don't worry about whether you're having the biggest time. Don't worry whether it looks like your friends are having a better time than you are. Look at yourself and your life. Does it line up with? Or am I fearing God? Am I keeping his commandments myself? It's the whole duty. It's what we're called to do in this life. Why? Because he realized, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Oh, you're not hiding anything. Every work that you did, every work, is going to face you in judgment. With every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. I ask us this evening, what is your goals? What is my goals? We took a bleak journey through a man that started out with such good goals. When I ponder Solomon's life, I wonder about us today. We live in such a time of life where if you connect all the dots, if you put the right effort at the right place, you can have a fairly nice life. I ask us, what is your goal? Is an easy, cushiony life for you here in this life? Is that what your focus is? Or does verse 14 realize that there is something else? The reason I'm doing it, the reason my goal is to serve others is not for myself, for recognition myself. My goal is to serve God and his kingdom and give up of myself. Choices affect our goals, whether they're reached or not. Young people, when all your friends are doing something that is shady or you know is wrong, you're faced with a choice. Are you going to stand on your own 2 feet or are you going to go with the flow? Peer pressure is so hard. Yes, I grew up from 1983 till today. I'm another different generation than some of you young people are. But there was temptations back then. There was peer pressure back then. I ended up places where I wasn't strong enough to stand against. Why? Because my goal, I lost sight of the goal in that time of trial. And I made a choice that was the wrong way. There's some choices you make in life. Young person, that's going to take, you will take with you through the rest of your life. There is a scar. God can wash you clean. But they will still stay a scar. Choices affect if our goals will be reached or not. You may say, well, I'm just not going to be faced with choices. I don't want to choose. I don't know. I want to just remain loose. I don't want to have to make that commitment to Christ. I don't want to have to make that. There's a lot of people in life going that way. And they're making a choice. There's some things in life where if you don't make a choice to do what's right, you've made a choice already. And the most important one is that I'm thinking about is whether you're going to serve Christ or not. A very, very important choice. It affects young people as to whether they're going to be open and honest with poor choices they've made in the past. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I can assure you in my own life there's been times where yes, I've confessed it to God and I confessed it to God. But God forbid I would share with somebody else my failure. I think it's our weakness in our brotherhood. You want true victory? Come clean. Totally clean. Hiding that music under the car seat or wherever you hide it. Wrong music, and expect at the end, when you're going about your daily job, that you're going to maintain a pure thought life and a pure walk with Christ, you're fooling yourself. You've made a choice, and it's not the right choice. The goal where you end up at is going to be a total different place. Today we make choices that affect are affected by where our goal is. In our spiritual life, we make choices as to whether our goal is or where we want to end up at. A choice that affects where our eternity is going to be spent. There is only two destinies, as I said in the message this afternoon. There's only two destinies. And we choose between the two. But it's because of where our goals are. It's easy to say, yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to go there. But where's the choices that you're making in life? Where is it going to take you? What is your goal? when you peel back the layers of your soul, what is really your goal? To protect self and to live for self? Or is it to serve God and to come clean and reach that place of bliss and glory? You will get to your destiny. You will get to your goal by your choices. To do nothing about the choice of whether you're going to serve Christ or not, you made a choice as well. How do you reach your goals? One day at a time. Looking at your goals, focusing on them. How does a business get to where it wants its goals to be? By reminding themselves, by working hard for it, by putting the effort into it to reach the goal. And the same is true in our Christian life. It must be.